It's 6:45. I'm Robert Palacios with KRWG News. The Diocese of Las Cruces has released documents regarding clergy sexual abuse to the State Attorney General's office. Michael Hernandez reports.
The diocese released roughly 12,000 pages documenting sexual abuse of minors by 28 priests and religious members who served within diocese boundaries before and after its creation. It added another 13 priests to the list who were credibly accused of sexual misconduct with minors in other dioceses, but have no complaints while serving in Las Cruces. Bishop Gerald Kakana says the release is part of continued efforts by the diocese to address past mistakes and prevent future abuse.
We have what is known now as zero tolerance, which is a very controversial thing because some people say people should be forgiven. We have members of our parishes who say, we know this priest has offended, but everyone can be forgiven. But today we've learned a tough lesson that anyone who has abused a child cannot be in ministry again. They may be forgiven by God for sure if they seek his forgiveness, but they can't be put in a position of trust.
A full list of names is at krwg.org. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Michael Hernandez.
On the Tuesday Health Watch, artificial sweeteners. Using them instead of sugar is supposed to help avoid health problems related to obesity. But the latest study of artificial sweeteners doesn't make clear if they really help you or maybe even hurt you. KERA's Sam Baker talked about this with cardiologist Dr. Naresh Badhay of the Texas Health Physicians Group.
There's never been uniformity or well-done studies on these artificial sweeteners. It's difficult to do because by the time you complete one study, there's a new one out there. Even though they fall under the same family, they're very different the way they're made.
The use of artificial sweeteners maybe is broader than any of us realize.
They're all over. I mean, preserved foods, non-sugar desserts, obviously. And there's some study I read out there that it's being laced in tobacco as well, which then brings you to the idea of whether, you know, it has any addictive properties to it. And as widely as they're used, the data has always been conflicting. You know, you have a few studies here and there that show one outcome, and you have a few other studies show a completely different outcome. So the current study is a great run-in because it's a meta-analysis. They looked at about 14,000 records trying to compare, you know, apples to apples, and they come up with about 56 studies. And it shows that there's really no difference in weight loss, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, kidney disease, neurocognitive function. There's really no difference in people who took the non-sugar sweetener versus regular sugar. You would think if you have a non-sugar sweetener with zero calories, you should lose weight, thereby have less diabetes, thereby have less cardiovascular disease and kidney disease.
Much fewer health problems.
Yeah, absolutely. But that doesn't really translate in this meta-analysis.
Why not, do you think? Is it the sweeteners themselves, the chemicals in it, or maybe our overconsumption of it?
One is, I think we trick ourselves. I took my artificial sweeteners, which is zero calories. So you kind of cheat yourself. I think that's part of it. Number two is, you know, these sweeteners are very potent. You know, they're about 400 to 600 times sweeter than regular sugar, ounce to ounce. Some people say they overstimulate your sugar receptors. So you tend to not like more nutritious, less sweet food, like natural sweetened fruits, for example. They're naturally sweet. You tend to not like those, and they're healthy with low glycemic indexes. Vegetables, which are really not sweet, but have low glycemic indexes. So your body's kind of trained to not like those. And that's a theory as well, that you eat less nutritious foods.
You crave that sugar
exactly.
Taste more.
And then the third black box out there is we have no idea how this changes your metabolism. Whether it does and whether it doesn't, I don't think that question has been completely answered, but that may be a contributing factor as well.
You're a cardiologist. What do you say to your patients then, if and when they ask you about using artificial sweeteners?
I tell them to try to minimize the use, if at all, use it. And we know for a fact, based on this meta-analysis, that it doesn't help you to try to achieve anything you're trying to achieve by using it, whether it's weight loss or control of diabetes. Whether it harms you long term, I think the jury's out on that one. So when you have something that doesn't really help you, why use it?
So the fear is if you're not careful with this, you could end up defeating your purpose for using it in the first place. In other words, you could end up with more weight gain and heart problems, et cetera.
Absolutely. If you start getting weight now I won't say that these cause you to gain weight, but they're definitely not helping you lose weight. But if it's not helping you, you know, if you maintain, you still maintain your weight and your diabetes is out of control, that will lead to heart and vascular disease.
So it begs the question then, are you better off with actual sugar?
I would say anything
more natural types of sugar.
I would say anything more natural. I would say anything in moderation. I mean, you know, just because you're gone off sweeter now, that doesn't mean that you overindulge in sugar. Mm-hmm. So anything in moderation, I would say, would be my answer to this.
Are you ever tempted to tell people, look, just give up sugar altogether and you don't have to worry about it?
I would love for people to give up sugar if they could. I mean, unfortunately, as a society, we're so ingrained growing up into sugar, from candy stores to cakes and desserts. I mean, it's hard to do, but that would be the best solution.
In the meantime, is there more study that needs to be done on this?
Definitely. I think this meta-analysis begs a question of, should we do a really good, thorough, double-blinded, randomized controlled trial, which is a gold standard for true trials? And I mean, that's a good question for society and for, you know, the World Health Organization or the NIH to maybe conduct one of those.
Dr. Bhatia, thank you for being with me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me over here, Sam.